You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, thank you very much, Randy. Hard to believe that we are now in 2021. And yet we are. And in this year, as always, we are called to make a difference while there is yet time. Even now as I speak, I'm thinking about a good friend of mine, someone that was on my board for almost two decades, someone who was willing to follow truth wherever it leads, but someone who will not see 2021 unfold from the perspective of this world, for he has been translated into another. He is now among that great cloud of witnesses, urging us to run the race set before us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He was a church leader. He was a true Christian willing to follow truth again wherever it leads. Too many of our churches today do not have that kind of leadership. They function, as Rod Dreher has well said, as secular entertainment centers, with religious morals simply slapped on top, when they ought to be functioning as the living, breathing body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Too many churches have succumbed to modernity. They have rejected the wisdom of past ages. They're treating worship as a consumer activity, and they're allowing parishioners to function as unaccountable, atomized members. The sad truth is this: when the world sees us, it often fails to see anything different from non-believers. Christians often talk about reaching the culture, but they fail to realize that having no distinct Christian culture of their own, they have been co-opted by the secular culture, a secular culture that they supposedly wish to evangelize. Without a substantial Christian culture, it's little wonder that our children are forgetting what it means to be Christian, and no surprise at all, that we're not bringing new people into the church. The church is diminishing rapidly. But I'm not here to curse the darkness. I'm here to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Last year on January 4th, we could not have imagined what would happen in one short year. Yet one thing has become increasingly clear. What happened in 2020 is but a prelude to menacing storm clouds that have now gathered on our horizon. Storm clouds that suggest that those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips stand in the shadow of mounting persecution. and that by an increasingly totalitarian state that would rejoice not only in the disappearance of Christians, but in the demise of all religion. For those who instinctively reflects to this kind of assertion, who claim that it just can't happen here, it's instructive to recall the words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who reminds us that there is always this fallacious belief that what happened during the Bolshevik Revolution in the former Soviet Union could not happen here. But alas, all the evil of the 20th century is possible everywhere on earth. The simple, the painful truth is that evil in the form of totalitarian impulses never, ever, ever takes a vacation. And there's nothing that precludes the horrors of history repeating themselves. That's why I've made Live Not By Lies, subtitled A Manual for Christian Dissidents, again by Rod Dreher, our offer for January. This is a book that might be as important as any you'll read this entire year, or for that matter, in many, many years to come. I say that because it reveals the powerful forces at work in totalitarian efforts to eradicate any voice that seeks to counter a mindless yet extraordinarily dangerous woke agenda. Make no mistake, a progressive, a profoundly anti-Christian militancy is steadily overtaking our culture. And it's empowered by unprecedented technological capacities to surveil what's going on in our private lives. The reality is this: there is virtually nowhere to hide. We are seeing a stealth attack. An attack by an increasingly illiberal, liberal democracy, which is so insidious that it would be missed by millions because they are cocooned in their current realities and therefore they can't seem to perceive a threat that is staring them in the face. The old world totalitarianism had a vision for the world that required the eradication of Christianity, but the new softer totalitarianism does as well. Most Christians are hardly equipped to resist this sneakier attack. Again, in this incredible book, Live Not By Lies, and by the way, a book that uses the power of story to communicate logical truth propositions, Rod Dreher shows how this totalitarian virus has encountered a cultural immune system, now radically and dangerously compromised. Decades of systematic erosion to the pillars of Christian faith have resulted in the pervasive triumph of the therapeutic. Here's what that means. Christian resistance on a large scale to the anti-culture has been fruitless and is likely to be fruitless in the foreseeable future. This is why. It is because the spirit of the therapeutic has conquered the church, even churches populated by Christians who identify as conservatives. Relatively few contemporary Christians are prepared to suffer for the faith because the therapeutic society that has formed them denies the purpose of suffering in the first place. and the idea of bearing pain for the sake of truth now seems ridiculous. Perhaps nowhere is this more evident than in the decadent and now epidemic form of faith labeled moralistic therapeutic deism. The general belief that God exists and wants nothing more from us than to be nice and to be happy. This is enemy-occupied territory, as C.S. Lewis well put it. But the truth is, the king has landed in disguise, and he is calling all of us to a grand campaign of sabotage. I want to talk about that more as we engage this conversation further in the second half of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Thank you.
once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just before the break, I was talking about moralistic therapeutic deism, which is the general belief that God exists and wants nothing more from us than to be nice and to be happy. Not necessarily to be holy and set apart, but just to be, well, be happy. The current trends in the culture we see also, unfortunately, in the church. And they may not spell the end of the world, but they do spell the end of a world. The light of Christianity is flickering out all over the West, says Rod Dreher. There are people alive today who may live to see the effective death of Christianity within our civilization. Let that sink in for a moment. But by God's mercy, the faith may continue to flourish in the global South and China, and yet barring a dramatic reversal of current trends, it will all but disappear entirely from Europe and North America. This again may not be the end of the world, but it is the end of a world, and only the willfully blind can deny it right now. For a long time, we've downplayed or ignored the signs. But now the floodwaters are upon us, and we're simply not ready as the body of Christ. Because future generations will most certainly and severely suffer from any blindness, denial, or silence, even inaction. I'm praying that thousands of Christians will read this book, Live Not by Lies. You can get your copy on the web for your support at equip.org. And my prayer is that they're going to wake up, they're going to stand up, they're going to speak up whenever and wherever they can to let growing numbers of our totalitarian opponents know that we will not go quietly and submissively into a new dark age. Christians today must understand that they are resisting a political machine that is very, very different, because it, in effect, is a rival religion. Just this morning, early on, I heard the words of one of the ambassadors of this new rival religion. He's Representative Emmanuel Cleaver. Ironically, a mainline Protestant minister who had the temerity to begin the 117th Congress with a prayer in the name of the Hindu Brahma. If ever there was an incompatibility, this is it. A minister of one of the largest Protestant denominations praying in the name of the Creator God of Hinduism. It's not a little ironic that the Hindu god Brahma, invoked by Reverend Cleaver, is also known as the Lord of Speech. But what begs highlighting is the difference between Hinduism and Christianity, a difference that can never be papered over by mere rhetoric. You see, one faith is based on reincarnation, the other on resurrection. The one faith is a Hindu fantasy, the other is a historical reality. You should know that Brahma represents one of the main deities of Hinduism. And although Hinduism is multifaceted and not monolithic, all Hindus suppose that ultimate reality, or Brahman, is an impersonal oneness that transcends all distinctions, including personal and propositional differentiations. Let me put it another way. All of reality in Hinduism is a continuum or simplified whole, and as such, there are no real distinctions between morals and mice. But that's not all. Hindus hold that humans, in concert with the rest of the universe, are a continuous extension of Brahman, that our illusory individuated selves are one with the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe. Atman is Brahman, and Brahman is Atman, they say. The Hindu scriptures teach the goal of humanity is liberation from an endless cycle of death and reincarnation. Liberation is attained when we realize that our individual selves are an illusion and all is one. Until such enlightenment supposedly is achieved, the law of karma dictates that our deeds in previous lives determine what we're going to be in a future life to come. And while the Hindu scriptures tout the hell of reincarnation, the holy scriptures teach the hope of resurrection. That is an enormous distinction. Well, in Hinduism, humanity's goal is to become one with nature because nature is God. Christianity teaches that man is created in the image and likeness of his creator and as such is distinct from both nature and from God. In Hinduism, truth is realized through intuition rather than through the cognitive thinking process. In Christianity, we are taught the truth, which is realized through revelation, which is apprehended by the intellect and then embraced by the heart. Thus, while Hinduism cannot supply the necessary preconditions for rationality and intelligibility, logic and reason are perfectly grounded in the triune God of Christian theism. Allow me to say something about how Emmanuel Cleaver ended his prayer. This is mind-boggling. In fact, let me let you listen to what he actually said.
We ask it in the name of the monotheistic God, Brahma, and God known by many names, by many different faiths. A man and a woman.
So he's trying to be woke. He's trying to be inclusive. But quite frankly, he was being ridiculous. And that, as a minister of one of the largest denominations on planet Earth. Obviously, amen is from Hebrew, and it means verily, truth. It has nothing to do with gendered differentiations. With the word amen, we're in effect saying, may it be so in accordance with the will of God. A marvelous reminder that any discussion on prayer must begin with the understanding that prayer is a means of bringing us into conformity with the will of God. It's not a magic mantra that ensures God's conformity to our will. Jesus was the very personification of the word amen. In Revelation, he's referred to as the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. And he not only taught us to pray, your will be done, he modeled those words by his life. In his passionate prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And while Jesus may be our greatest example, he's not our only example. His kinsman James warns those who are prone to boast and brag that they ought to pray instead, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. We should never forget the real meaning of the word amen. and certainly should never prostitute it, as did this representative and Protestant minister. For if we do, we lose the essence of what it means to be a Christian in communion with God. We're in for unprecedented changes under soft totalitarianism, and I want you not to be caught by surprise, but to know what is on the horizon. Get the book, Live Not by Lies. Don't just read it, devour it. It will equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the faith that lies within you, and to do it with gentleness and with respect. I do hope that you will have a great new year, a new year measured by what you do, not just for time, but for all eternity. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.